Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
It is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm excited about today's guest, and today's guest is William Renfro. William Renfro is an engineer, entrepreneur, and visionary, but most importantly, a follower of Christ. In 1993, William felt called to open a full-service industrial construction company, which he would name Renfro Brothers, Inc. William's desire was to open and operate a company where his 150 employees could work hard, be successful, and if they chose, live out their faith. And over the past 23 years, he has done just that. William and his wife, Lisa, have 5 children. William Renfro, welcome to the Career Callings radio program, sir. How are you today?
Man, I'm doing great, and thank you so much for inviting me to come on and talk.
Man, I'm excited to have you today. I know you got a lot of things to share with my audience members, and they're going to learn a lot from you, as I know I will learn a lot from you. So let's just kind of dive right in a little bit with this question. And I did do a brief biography of you, but I didn't get too detailed. So just kind of tell us a little bit about your family and about where you're from and all that stuff, and then we'll get into the actual information about your business.
Well, a lot of times I'm able to tell people a little bit about my history because I think that makes where I'm at today a little more interesting, because I grew up in a little small town in the lower part of the state, and where education wasn't very good. And we lived on a farm, and I'm one of 11 children, and we grew up in a trailer. And I grew up in a home where I had an incredible godly mom and a dad who was lost and an alcoholic. And for the better part of my early days, I lived in fear and with a dad who was very angry and very drunk most of the time. And I will say this, he was a good father along the way, but he was a terrible husband. And but when I was 15, he became a Christian. And man, what a difference. You know, my whole life was turned around from a guy who I laid in bed at night praying that he'd die or get killed in a car wreck so he'd quit coming home and abusing my mom, and to a dad who's the most well-respected man in the city today and been my best friend for the last 40 years since then. And but all that stuff impacts who you are. And you don't have to be a product of your environment. You can be better because of your environment, and that's what God has done in my life. He's used those things to make me better. Left there and went to Clemson and graduated engineering, and all on my way to a career.
And by the way, first of all, testimony. That's a wonderful testimony of grace of how the Lord did what he did and in your father's life and your family's life. And now as we segue into your career, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing right now and how the Lord led your career steps to where you are right now.
All right. Now, I do want to back up and mention one thing that I think is very important to every young kid who's listening, that when I went off to college, I got involved in Campus Crusade, and it was a great ministry. And all 5 of my children have ended up at Clemson and gone back. And that's been my 2 most important pieces of advice. Is one is getting involved in a good ministry, because it will impact your life going forward and meet all the people you can meet. So I started out at Clemson, and I got a good the in-depth learning of Christ through training through Campus Crusade, and it was a wonderful ministry. It made a big difference in my life. And I left there and got a good offer from Millikan right out of college, working as an engineer in Pendleton Finishing and making good money. And, man, I was on my way to living a dream. And after about a year of that in Pendleton, living right downtown Clemson, I was transferred to a big plant up in Blacksburg, but I moved to Spartanburg. And after a couple of years there, I come to realize that I didn't want to live in the corporate world any longer. And I started a process of looking for another job. And I was actually working in the plant for a construction company at the time. And I had taken a job in North Carolina and was on my way out of town. And this guy came in and said, "Hey, I want you to come talk to my boss, and he's interested in you." So I went to see him. I changed my mind. I went to work for him. And in about 1983, I went to work with a construction company out of Gaffney, and I worked there for the next 10 years until I did tell him this when I went to work, because I was adamant about it and serious about it. I told him, I said, "I worked with you for 3 years, and after 3 years, I'm going to start my own company." And I don't know where that came from exactly, because I didn't know what I was going to do. He asked me that. He said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Whatever God gives me." And but I want to run a company one day, and I want to run it for Christ. And the crazy thing about that is I didn't even know what it meant to run a company for Christ at that time.
I hear
but
you.
God put it in my heart before I even knew exactly what it meant. But I thought I knew what I was going to do and thought I knew what it meant. But, hey, it's a journey. And so I ended up working for him for about 10 years and learned a lot about the game. I realized very early that if you're going to be successful in a business, it helps to have some gray hairs. And, you know, a young kid starting a company looking for $1 million POs, not going to come very easy. But so I waited until I was about 35, and I started my company in 1993. And with three guys and a plan, and I was excited about running my own company. I just it was a big journey going forward that I wasn't sure what I was going to do.
I hear you. And I'm sure that as you built Renfro Brothers Construction, it was not all rainbows and unicorns. I'm sure there were some tough things that happened along the way. So if you could tell us a little bit about what might consider your worst career failure, or at least a big hiccup in the road along the way, tell us that story and what you learned from it.
Well, you know, when I read that question, I thought, man, this is crazy, because you have so many failures. And if you're afraid of failing in business, you better stay home and work for somebody else. But mm-hmm. you're going to have a lot of failures. And it's not really the failures that matter. It's what you do with them. And I'll back up just a minute and tell you this story, because I think it's interesting. But when the company that I was working for prior to starting Renfro Brothers was run by a great guy, a good Christian guy. But he didn't believe that, you know, you should bring your Bible to work. And I had a lot of conversations with him about his faith and what he was trying to accomplish. But one day I started a Bible study at work, and at lunchtime on my time, and he came up to me one day, and I had about 20 people coming, and it was going well. And he just cornered me one day, and he said, "We won't talk to you." He said, "Look, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but," he said, "I just don't think you need to bring your Bible to work." And that's a turning point for me, because when you're working for somebody else, you don't have the right or the privilege of setting the standards. You have to follow their standards. And I love the guy. I know he's a godly man, but he and I had two different opinions on how a company ought to be run, and whether a guy could serve God at work just as easy as on Sunday. And in my opinion, that's what's wrong with our society today. You know, people don't think they can bring their faith to work, and the world tries to keep us from doing that. So I went with that passion, and I wanted my people to be able to come to work, serve God the way they would any other day, and live out their faith in whatever fashion that God led them to. And so that's what we do at Renfro Brothers, and that's what makes us a little bit different. And you're talking about failures and things, and along the way, we tried to do so many things to become a good Christ-centered company. And one of the best, probably first important lessons I learned is, you know, God's not really interested in what we do. He's interested in that we do what he asks us to do. And, man, we were getting it after trying to do all kinds of things, and it just seemed like some things weren't working. And we got real frustrated with it. And, you know, a guy came in and sat down with me and said, well, why don't you just do this? Why don't you just eliminate all these things you're trying to do and just do the ones that you know God has called you to do? And man, it changed a lot of things. So every company's different. What you do as a Christ-centered company is different from company to company, but the principles are the same. You know, serve God, try to make a difference, and find things that work for your company and do them.
Let me ask you a follow-up question on that. You mentioned that there were a lot of things you were trying to do, and then you started to listen to the Lord to find out how he wanted you to narrow your focus. Could you give us one example of one of the things that he actually told you or led you to keep working on, and maybe one of the things he told you to let go?
Yeah, I will. You know, every company's different. I mentioned that a while ago, and what works for one company might not work for the next company. And so along the way, somehow I met this guy for a ministry called FCCI, which is Fellowship of Companies for Christ. I started looking on the internet and I found them, and they sent a guy by to see me, and he just happened to have an old list of 150 things that a company can do different, you know. And man, I was pumped up when I got that list, and I tried to do them all, you know, which was a mistake. But surprisingly, you know, our dynamic is different. And when you're in a manufacturing facility, when you got all your people, you know, in a box where you can get your hands on, you can do certain things. But our company's different because a lot of my employees I don't see very often. They're scattered all over the country, and there's never a time when they're all in one spot, one building together. So I have to look for different types of things. And surprisingly, one of the simplest things we've ever done that just has my employees just think it's crazy good is we send their children birthday cards and a note from the owner, and then I'll send them a dollar bill in there. And every time I see an employee, they just say, my child just thought that was the greatest thing. And I always try to say something about their dad or their mom, you know, to let them know how much we love them and appreciate them. And for some reason, that seems to be a thing that we do that people really love. And we do another thing called a prayer gram, where we write a prayer gram and everybody in our company signs it. So if we hear tell of somebody having a surgery or a death in the family, then we'll send them a prayer gram. And when they get that prayer gram and see 50 names on it of people who care about them, undoubtedly it means something to them, because I get a lot of phone calls. And so you try things, you see what works, you get feedback from it, and then you evaluate whether it's your people are liking it and accept it. You asked me about things that didn't work. Well, we were real interested in having a big Christmas party, bringing all our people so we could get them in one room together. But we found out real quick that construction people don't like social meetings, and they don't like to come together, and they hated it. And I almost had to force them to come, and, you know, and so we decided, hey, let's do something different for them. And so we went away from the corporate Christmas party to doing some things a little different. And so you have failures and you have successes, and you just keep trying things. And that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Now, let's kind of flip the coin here. Let's talk about your biggest career success. What would you say is your biggest career success, and what made it so successful?
Well, you know, the only thing that I can honestly say about my company that really matters to me and is from a success standpoint, sure, we make money and sure, we got a lot of people, but being a Christ-centered company is everything for me. You know, being able to lead a group of people and running a company for Christ, it changes the game. I mean, you go to work, you work hard, you make money, you go home. In a Christ-centered company, you go to work, you work hard, you impact people's lives, you see God working. It changes it from being a job to a passion. And I am passionate about running my company. I love my people. I love telling people about it, and I love teaching people. I travel around a lot talking about running a Christ-centered company and how it can work and how it should work. And if I say I got a passion in life, it's teaching that. So I would call that my biggest career success, but, you know, it's very, very important that, Christ-centered companies have to be successful, because nobody's going to want to be like Renfro Brothers if we're not successful. So we got to run a good company. We got to run it where people are amazed at it. And then that's when you earn the right to share Christ. And that's what we try to do.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, William, because, you know, you're so right. As many of my previous guests have articulated, people are more likely to listen to your witness and your testimony if they respect you. And they're more likely to respect you if you're excellent at what you do every day in your career. And so by running an excellent company, you have a platform of respect from which you can share the gospel and the love of Christ, and people will respond to it because they already respect the messenger. And so that's, if there's no other reason to do everything as unto the Lord, it's for that reason, so that when we do his work through our companies, through our businesses, people will respond in a positive way and not just think, oh, why should I listen to that guy? Because he never does anything to lift a finger at work or doesn't do anything well at work. So that's awesome. So your biggest career success, to sum it up, is your business is your ministry. And folks, we need to understand, whether we own our own company or whether we're working for someone else, to share Christ at work, to be a testimony for Christ at work, that's an intentional decision. It doesn't just happen. You have to make that a goal and intentionally pursue that. Of course, not in your own power, but knowing that, as Philippians 2:13 says, God gives us both the will and the power to do his good pleasure. So that's good stuff, man. Good stuff. And that's a wrap on segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two.
I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources.
Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all of these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break to today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now let's get back to our interview with William Renfro. Now, earlier, William, you've already shared one or two ways that you're using your business to impact others for Christ, but so as to make sure we get everything out on the table that you would like to share, is there anything else about how you're using your business to impact others for Christ that you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, you know, I do want people to understand what they need to know about running a company for Christ, because every company is different, and there's different ways to make an impact in what you do is in running a company. But if your first thing you got to do is you got to accept the fact that you're a priest, and no matter what, and you said this a while ago, and I think it's interesting. You can make a difference in a company even if you're not the owner. But you got to be careful, and you got to be a little bit more tactful in how you do things, because once again, you got to follow the demands of the company. And some companies don't allow you to have a Bible study at work, or they don't let you stop and pray for your friends and suppliers and customers. And so you have to be respectful of that. But if you're the owner, you can make those decisions, and you can do what you choose to do if you're willing to pay the price for it. And so I tell people, you know, first of all, you got to understand a Christ-centered company is much like a church, and that it's a platform for Christ. And you have to become and understand that you're a priest. Then make you a pastor. Some people accuse me of being a pastor because I talk and preach a lot, but I'm a priest. I have to take responsibility for the people that God brings under my management, and I got to preach to them. I got to love them. I got to encourage them, and I got to minister to them, and I got to listen to them. And that's the exciting part. You know, you become a missionary at work, and but you got to be deliberate about it. You got to be sold out. And, man, I've talked to many companies about doing it, and there's always fears. You know, am I going to get sued? Is there going to be problems? You know, and am I going to lose business because people find out I'm a Christian and all these things? Well, sure. I mean, it can happen, but I've been doing it 25 years now, and I've never had anybody to refuse to give me a job because I'm a Christian or even allude to it. Matter of fact, just the opposite. I've gotten so much work from so many people because they love what I stand for. Now, it becomes a problem if you stand for Christ and you don't deliver and you don't represent Christ very well. And that's one of our biggest problems in the Christian ministry in the marketplace, is Christians that have not represented Christ very well in their actions and deeds. And it ruins it for others. And the world begins to not trust Christians, people who call themselves Christians and run companies. And if you put a fish on your truck, you better be willing to stand and support it properly. And that's one right. thing we do is we stand for Christ. We, you know, we don't push it on people, but we know what our mission and our vision is. And we're very quiet about it, But when the door's open, we take advantage of it.
That's right. It goes back to what we said earlier. You have an obligation to be excellent in your business so that you can properly represent Christ when people have the opportunity to hear what you have to say or do on behalf of his name. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what one piece of career advice would you give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
Well, it just seems like yesterday I was doing that very thing, and I have talked to quite a few college students, and I always give them, if they want to talk about the business, I give them my three business points. But I do add this to a young man that's in there, that if you're going to get out and make a living, first of all, you got to work hard. And it don't matter what job you do or what kind of company. If you work hard, you're going to probably be successful. And then, of course, my big thing is building relationships. Get to know people. Treat people right. And if you build relationships and work hard, you're going to be successful. Be the best at whatever your job is. If you're the best, you're going to be there. And I always say this, that good work breeds more work. And if you're the best at what you do, you've always got a job. So if you're worried about your job, you're probably worried because you're not real good at what you do, or, you might not be working hard enough, and so just be good at what you do. And then, of course, I always give them something that I think I've heard a lot of people say it, but you can't be afraid to fail. As an owner, I'm looking for people that'll bring some offense to the table and try some things. And people, seems like they worry about failing. And man, I always say this, if you ain't trying something, you ain't failing. If you ain't failing, you ain't trying something. So man, get out there and try some things. And your boss is never going to fuss at you. Normally, a good boss won't, for failing. He's going to fuss at you because you don't try things and you don't bring any offense to the table, or you do things, that you're not supposed to do. But don't be afraid to fail. And some of the richest, greatest people in business today will tell you they fail many, many, many times. And those failures make them better. So those are simple pieces of advice. And but to me, they still work today, and they're important in my eye for success.
That is awesome, good stuff. So William Renfro, I have been blessed by our conversation on our show today, and I know a lot of other people have been as well. So if people want to reach out to you to follow up with any kind of questions or whatnot, what's the best way they can reach out to William Renfro?
Well, anytime anybody wants to talk about running a company for Christ, all they got to do is call me at, or send me an email at williamr@renfrobros.com, renfrobros.com, or feel free to call me at 864-303-5987. And nothing I'd rather do than spend time telling somebody, how to do these things and giving them some advice, because I think that's what God calls me to do, is to teach and share. And at the end of the day, we're creating eternal value together. So call me and I'll be glad to help you. And I can tell you a lot of things not to do, and I can tell you things to do, but God will lead you in what you're supposed to do. So.
Amen. Amen. William Renfro, thanks for being a guest on today's edition of Career Callings Radio. You have a great day, sir.
Thank you very much. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. God bless you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, man. And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. And I trust you've been as blessed by my conversation with William Renfro as I have been. And as always, you're welcome to go to careercallings.net to get a free copy of today's broadcast. But you'll also be able to access the extra bonus material on the podcast version of this, where we have additional conversation that we could not air on the radio version of the show. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did he clear the smoke for you?
Well, you know, as a young kid, even going into, I always tell these stories because they sound crazy, but I went into the Clemson and I walked into, I kind of got there on a last minute. That first time I ever visited, my mom dropped me off there, my mom and dad, and I was planning on going to another school, and I changed my mind, and my coach got me a chance to play baseball at Clemson. And so they carried me, dropped me off, and first time I'd ever seen Clemson. And so I go in to the next day to apply for a major, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't know one major from the next. So I talked to this lady, and I said, "Man, what choices I got?" And she said, "Well, look, there's all these lines right here. Just go get in line and pick one." And I said, "Well, I don't know what to pick." And she said, "Well, what do you like?" And I said, "Well, my daddy was a mechanic." And she said, "Well, why don't you get over there in the engineer line?" And I said, "Okay." And I didn't have a clue what an engineer did. And then I got over there in the engineer line, and she said, I asked her again. I said, "Well, there's three or four engineers here. There's electrical, mechanical, civil, all these things. How do I know which one?" She said, "Well, what do you like?" And I said, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, my dad was a mechanic." And she said, "Won't you be a mechanical engineer?" And I said, "I like mechanics and I like taking things apart. I think I'll try that." So I got in the mechanical engineer line, and 4 years later, I'm an engineer mechanical. So it's crazy. And then you get out in the workplace and you still don't know what your life's going to be like as an engineer. I didn't have a clue what an engineer did every day, all day. And it didn't take me long to figure out I didn't want to be a design engineer, and I wasn't going to sit behind a desk and draw drawings all day. And I got out and was disenfranchised with the options I had, and I finally settled on being a field engineer, maintenance engineer, and I liked that. And kind of God kind of orchestrated all this, because I promise you, I didn't have a clue where I was going. And I knew, you know, I was smart enough to appreciate it when I got there, but I sure didn't know. I didn't choose the path. God directed me.
I tell you what, that's good. And we need to have faith, especially when we're totally clueless about what we think the Lord would have us to do. We just have to have faith that He will direct our steps. And part of that step direction comes from us taking the effort, making the effort to take steps. As the Bible says, a man deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Well, He's not going to direct your steps if you're not taking any steps. So you got to take steps of faith one at a time, knowing and trusting that He will guide you in the direction He wants you to go. Now, my next question is this. Have you ever been faced with a challenge in your workplace? And if so, how did you handle it?
Well, I mean, as a Christian leader, you're faced every single day with challenges. But I would say, if I had to just mention one thing, that if you're going to run a company for Christ, you're held to a different standard by the world. And just as important, God holds you to a different standard. And He expects you, if you're going to put His name on your business, that you better. And I tell my employees this just about every week when we sit down and have our weekly devotions, that God's hands of protection is about our company, because we are faithful and we obey. And my biggest fear in life is that God's hand of protection is not on our company, because we've lost focus and we've lost the ability to run a Christ-centered company because we're not being obedient. And So we have to protect our integrity every day. We can't get caught up in a scandal. We can't get caught up in. See, the hard part about that is, you know, I don't make all the decisions. My people go out and make decisions, and I'm responsible for them. And if one of my guys does something wrong, you know, I'm held accountable. And so protecting your integrity, you know, and what I can do is I can set the standard. I can tell them what we expect. And if I catch them violating, then I got to stay close to them and make sure we correct it. But it counts in every area, from quality to safety to building. Everything you do has got to be done with the highest integrity. And it's a challenge because you got a lot of people working for you, and it doesn't take but one of them to give you a bad name and to mess you up.
I tell you what, there's so many things I can pull from that, but just what's kind of rising to the top is that, you know, we really can't let fear of, let me back up. You know, we're all human. We all are sinful. We're all going to make mistakes. And I think a lot of times it's safe to say that we choose not to take a step for the Lord or to proclaim his name because we do fear that we will mess up or someone we're tied to will mess up, and we may let that fear drive us to inaction. So I think one of the challenges, many challenges you articulated there, William, but the one that's coming to my mind is this: don't let the fear of your or other people's failure stop you from still living for the Lord and proclaiming his name, understanding we're all going to make mistakes. People that we work with are going to make mistakes. Yeah, but the challenge is to keep moving forward for the Lord. I mean, goodness gracious. David, King David, a man after God's own heart, was an adulterer and a murderer. He made mistakes, but after he repented of that and was received God's grace from that, he kept moving forward and wrote, you know, psalms and hymns and lived a life that still honored the Lord. So thank you Absolutely. For sharing that and that challenge. Absolutely.
Well, I always tell them that, hey, you know, when you come to work for me, I'll promise you one thing: I'm a human. And I'm not perfect. And if you won't make me be perfect, I won't make you be perfect. But let me tell you something. The person we serve is perfect. And we got to be, to our best ability, strive to be like Christ. And the biggest problem a lot of times is not so much that, because you know what you're trying to do, but it's getting the employees that come to you to trust you and believe in what you're trying to do because they've been mistreated for so long by so many, many, many people. It takes them a while to trust you and to trust that you're going to care about them, that you're going to take care of them, you're going to be there for them. And, you know, once you get them convinced that, you know, it's a game changer. You don't have to worry about losing them. You don't have to worry about them representing you, because when they buy in, man, it's awesome. And that's what makes running a Christ Center company so special to me.
Amen. What would you say is your number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
Well, you're talking about something personal, and I guess this is something that I learned in college and as a kid, I guess maybe is, I can't even tell you who really taught this principle to me, but I teach it to every one of my children because it's been a winning thing for me. But I learned real early in life that people do business with people they like. And so I tell my children when they go off to college, look, you build as many relationships as you can, and you get friends, you're going to win. And so I teach my children to go to college and meet everybody you can meet and be good to them and be friends with them and don't have any enemies in this world. Build relationships. And then when we run our company, we do the same thing. I mean, it's all about relationships. And I tell my project managers and my people that if you got friends, you got work, because people do work with people they like. So if you're a relationship person, you're going to be successful in this business. If you're not a relationship person, you better learn to be one, because that's what makes us tick. Build relationships, build them strong. And there's plenty of people out there that are looking for people to care about them. And the door is wide open, and use that tool and make it work for you.
Amen to that. Now, just in case it's different, and it may not be, but what would you say is your number one business habit that drives your career success?
Well, you know, sometimes your biggest asset can be your biggest liability, but I would say if anything, you know, I never have considered myself to be a very smart person or a very talented person, but one thing I've always given myself credit for is I work harder than anybody. I work hard. I go after it. And I always tell them, never give up, never give out, and never give in. And that's kind of my motto for work is that, and I try to teach my children, my friends, and the same thing. Get out there and work hard. If you work hard and work smart, you make it. And so business habit is working hard, getting out there, getting after it, and don't give up, don't give out, and don't give in.
There's a little motto, or maybe not a motto, maybe a saying is a better way to put it, that one of my previous guests shared with me on the air. He said, "I'm just too stupid to quit." That's a great way. That's a great way to say I'm persistent. Right. I'm persistent. Right. I'm just going to keep on keeping on until it works. So I think every time I feel like I'm too tired, I just think to myself, I'm too stupid to quit. So,
well, and then you find yourself fighting fights that you got to be careful about that because, guy looked at me one day and said, "Man, you a fighter, aren't you?" And I said, "Man, that's all I know. I just, you know, and it can be a negative thing. There's times you got to learn to fold them and you got to back off a little bit and quit pushing so hard. And so don't let your greatest asset be a liability for you." And
that's a good point. Yep. Good way to quantify, or I should say qualify, what I said there. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now, can you share a productivity tool, whether it's internet-based or non-internet-based, that helps you be or achieve maximum effectiveness in the workplace?
Well, gosh, we got a lot of tools that we use, and my laptop's my right hand. But I'll tell you something that recently has become a favorite tool of mine. Is I use a Zoom program, a program called Zoom, You know, I say, it's not for everybody, but what it does, it allows me to meet with people. I have businesses in three different, you know, towns, and I got one in Charleston, one in Tennessee, and an office here in Spartanburg, and I got a lot of friends in a lot of different places, but you can have meetings with people face-to-face, and if you can get them on Zoom and talk to them, and I mean, I've been in a hotel room in Cancun and having staff meetings with my people, and it's just as good as being there, and almost as good, but it allows you to be a mobile manager and do some things you want to do. And when you start spreading out and trying to run businesses in several different cities and states and locations, then it's a tool that just makes you so much more, you know, you can get on the phone and talk to anybody, but when you can look them in the eye and talk to them and you can read their, you know, the emotions and really have a better time communicating. So Zoom is a great tool for me. There's all kinds of them. You got Skype, you got Zoom. And the reason I like Zoom is because it has tools on it to allow me to put charts and graphs up and talk to multiple people and see them multiple people at the same time. And it's just a little more sophisticated and, you know, it works for me.
Yeah, it's a great tool. I've used it before as well. Fantastic tool. A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. So what three business tips would you give to a new business owner who's trying to get, trying to make their business excellent for the Lord?
Well, I'd like to tell you some new things that, other than what we've already talked about, but these three things are things that we've already discussed. But I every time I talk to a crowd about running a company for Christ, I give them three basic points. And number one is you got to become a priest, and you got to understand that and what it means to be a priest and be responsible for that. Number two thing is you got to sell out for Christ. If you're a mealy mouth and a halfway committed person, you're not going to run a company for Christ because you're going to be scared to do anything. And man, I look at those verses in Joshua said, and it just basically says, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And some people ain't going to like it, and some people, and it doesn't matter. You know, all I care about is pleasing Christ. And I also say this, too, is that there's things in your life that don't have eternal value, you need to get them out of your life. And because Satan will wrap you up in all kinds of things that has no eternal value. And if you're sold out for Christ, you're going to be looking for things to do that have eternal value, that are Christ-centered. And then, of course, the third thing is I use this because I think it's important that we got to learn to love people and use things. And see, what happens to a lot of us is we love things and we use people to get there. And
that's good. When you get
to a point in your business life where you're using people to get things, your focus is wrong. And if you love people and you do your job, you have the things you need, and they don't matter anyway. But those people that you love, and they'll be with you forever.
So those are my three
talking points. So
yeah, as I like to say, that'll preach. So that's good stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.